and a sound mind. So, Lord Jesus, every time that we come to a place where we're afraid, and it's going to happen, because fear has a regular return policy, God, we pray that you would fill our hearts, our minds, and our whole bodies with your faith, your love, your power. Be with us, God. We pray this and claim this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, good morning, New Albany United Methodist Church. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, those who raised us, and those, even though you weren't flesh and blood, you gave us a North Star to help guide our way. Now, to all of the dads out here, I just want to say to you that you matter, your words matter, your insight matters. You have the power to build us up, and with just a few words, the power to tear us down as well. And speaking of words and dads, well, my dad, Rick Fast, is here. Everybody say, hello, Rick. And my dad is a talker. Just get to know him just for a little bit, and he's a talker. Shocker, right? Like, that my dad would be a talker. And as I was growing up, I remember so many of the things that my dad would say. Things like, well, if I've seen that once, Rach, I've seen it 1,000 times. Or that went over like a lead balloon. Anybody's dad ever say that, right? And then there are these moments where I would be talking to my dad about like a challenge, a leadership challenge, a challenge that I'd have with a colleague, and he'd say, you know, Rach, Abraham Lincoln said it best, you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And those words, for whatever reason, would make me feel better. They would give me the courage that if I would just take the next right step, everything was going to be okay. Those words that my dad would say over and over again would give me the clarity that I need. Dare I say they would give me peace? Our words matter. In fact, our words are powerful. Our words pack a punch. Say that with me. Our words pack a punch. In March of this year, I traveled to Galveston, Texas, to visit Central United Methodist Church and hang out with Michael Ginger. Now, some of you may remember the interview that I did during the season of Lent with Michael. Michael is just this amazing guy who's full of joy, and they have this incredible church there in Galveston, Texas. And while we were there, we went to the birthplace of Juneteenth. I was with a group of leaders, and when our tour bus arrived, we received much more than a history lesson. As we were there, our tour guide just began to explain to us this incredible mural, the mural that was painted by Reginald Adams. And in that mural are so many powerful words. The story of Estevanico, dating back to 1528, a former slave turned explorer due to a shipwreck that washed up on the shores of Galveston. Also depicted there is Harriet Tubman. She's carrying a lantern. Here is this faith-filled abolitionist. I have a picture of Abraham Lincoln himself holding a broken monocle, a symbol that things are changing. And then you have, right there, is a guy named General Gordon. Now, General Gordon is the one who happened to issue General Order Number 3, declaring the freedom of all slaves in Texas on June 19th, 1865, liberating 250,000 slaves, 250,000 people, 250,000. And in that picture, you see all of these black soldiers who are behind them. There are 5 there, and they represent the U.S. colored troops, so many soldiers who are a part of the Union Army. It's amazing. It's a powerful depiction. There's so much more happening in this mural. And when we see a mural like this, we are reminded that our stories matter. The way that we tell our stories, even as a nation, matter. The good, the really good, the bad, and the in-between. Friends, when we share our story, those words, and whether they're spoken or in paintings or in writing, those words shape our identity. They help us understand who we are. Now, Jesus understood the power of words. In fact, Jesus was always telling these stories, these parables, if you would. They were word pictures. He was a word artist. He understood that words matter. And today we find Jesus hanging out with the disciples at what would have been his final meal, where we have the front row seat to his words, the words of a dying man. Powerful and poignant, Jesus speaks as one who doesn't have any time to waste. Someone whose heart is open and tender toward the presence of the people around him. So we're going to open our Bibles and our Bible apps once again to John chapter 15. And this time, listen with this understanding that these are powerful words. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you." Jesus realized his time was limited, and he wanted these disciples, these followers, to be reminded of his words, not so they could just repeat them over and over again, but so that they would actually live those words right out loud. Jesus knew that for these close friends and for us to live out our God calling, we would need to soak this all in and do as he said. Do as I say. Say that with me. Do as I say. Parents, grandparents, have you ever had a kid that you just said to them, do what I say? Maybe it's in a moment where you've tried to like connect and then correct, or it's that thousandth question that child has asked you. And in a moment of exasperation, you just said, please, child, just do what I say. We've all had moments like that, haven't we? We're only human after all. But here is Jesus is explaining to the disciples, please just do what I say. He's not like chastising them as a parent or a grandparent, but rather he's trying to remind them of their identity, who they are. They are friends of God. Now, brothers and sisters, that's mind-blowing, because that's not the understanding of God that people had in the first century. Our understanding of God has evolved over the centuries. Many people and cultures believe that God or the gods were deities that needed to be appeased at best or manipulated at worst. The divine wasn't something to trifle with. And now Jesus is flipping the script. There's an invitation to intimacy that Jesus is describing. You aren't servants. You aren't slaves of God. No, you are God's friend. There's a deep connection between friends, a love that isn't merely an exchange of words on a page, but rather a love that is deep and lived right out loud. I want you to think about your closest friends. Who are your ride or dies? You know what I'm talking about? Those people that will do anything for you, say anything for you, they're going to be there no matter what. They are there for you when you get the bad news, when you hear the diagnosis, when your spouse says, I don't love you anymore. They're with you when that kid just walks away. They are with you when you get fired at work, when you don't know which way to turn. They are the people you turn to. These are your people, and they're the people who love you. Their love isn't lip service. It's real. It's tangible. So Jesus calls these disciples friends. Why would he do that? Well, because he learned it from God. Jesus calls God Father. Now, let me take a moment to unpack this for a minute. God as Father. I recognize that sometimes when we name God as Father, it's not comfortable for everyone. Many men and women that I've experienced less than healthy relationships with their dads, and for some I've encountered in pastoral ministry, the term is downright painful. But let me be clear, naming God as Father isn't about gender or even the character of God being limited to fathering children. No, Jesus is doing something here. He's attempting to close the gap between a distant deity and a God who cares for all of humanity. Remember, the Word became flesh and blood and moved right into the neighborhood. God is drawing close. God is drawing close, and because God is drawing close, Jesus didn't call these disciples to be fear-filled robots or just do what he's saying, but rather he's saying, no, you are my friends. You're my friends. That is a deep and real relationship. And relationship has so much more to do with words that it has to do with our actions. St. Francis of Assisi wrote, "Preach the gospel and use words if necessary." Which sounds really good coming from a preacher, right? I mean, this is what I do for a living. Come on, St. Francis of Assisi. But what he's saying is that our words have to be in alignment with our actions. I'll never forget growing up. I grew up in the 90s in that era where DC Talk was a big deal. Anybody listen to DC Talk? All three of us. Great, right? And I'll never forget him quoting Brennan Manning when he said, "The single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable." Right? We've heard this all the time. People call Christians hypocrites. Why? Because we don't do what we say. And what does Jesus tell us to do? Love one another. That's what people are looking for in our lives. Do these people actually love one another? When our words and actions are in alignment, we become a blessing, not only to ourselves, not only to our families, but we become a blessing to the whole wide world. Now, that definition of blessing is the impartation of something with grace and holiness and spiritual redemption or divine will. Let me say it plain. A blessing really comes from God. Being a blessing means through our words and our actions, we bring love and wholeness to those around us. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Speak a blessing." Speak a blessing. Now, when I was in middle school, I can remember this moment. I was at a basketball camp. I mean, it's summer. This is what we're doing this summer, right? All these sports camps. I was at a basketball camp, and I had this coach speak a blessing over me. I need you to know I wasn't that great at basketball in middle school. And yet, my dad taught me how to shoot. And my dad had perfect form. And so I had this beautiful shooting form. And so this one coach came up to me and he said, "Rachel, I noticed your shooting. You have the best form out here. Your form is amazing. If you would just practice and practice and practice, I just can't wait to see the kind of player that you become." Now, brothers and sisters, somehow what that coach said just like stuck with me. If I just practiced, I could get better. And so I did. I started shooting 500 shots a day, every day. I practiced and I practiced. And let me say, it didn't happen overnight. I went from sitting the bench in middle school to starting on the varsity team when I was a junior in high school. Lots and lots of practice. And yet, somehow, I believed what that man was saying. He spoke a blessing over me. And not only did I believe what he was saying because of what he said, I started to believe it about myself. Do you see the power of a blessing? Our words matter. Our words matter. Friends, we are here to be a blessing. John 15, Jesus finds himself sitting with these disciples, and he speaks this blessing over them. Love one another, just as I have loved you. He's empowering them to go and proclaim the good news to the poor and the disenfranchised, the overlooked, and the never picked. And in the same way, we're empowered to speak a blessing. A blessing over our kids and our grandkids, our nieces and our nephews, and over our neighbors. We're called to love the whole 614 and beyond. We're here to do love, to speak love, to be love. Now, I want you to think for a moment, who in your life needs a blessing? Think about your neighborhood. Is there a widower across the street that needs a blessing? Those teenagers who sometimes do get on your ever-loving nerves? The neighbor with all of those young children who just seems to be struggling, or even that neighbor that seems they have it all together? Every single person in our lives needs a blessing. It's amazing to watch what happens. I know when I'm walking in the morning and I see a stranger, all I have to do is say, "Good morning," and their whole countenance changes. You go to the grocery store and you're checking out, and instead of just like getting out of there, you look at the person who's checking you out and you say, "You know what, I want you to have a great day." You make eye contact and it changes kind of the whole atmosphere. It's when you're at a restaurant and you're talking to your waiter or your waitress, and you get just a piece of their life story. And you listen, and you really listen. And for the first time, that the whole day, someone sees them. I mean, like, really sees them. It's your kid or your grandkid that you know, they know you love them, but you take the time and you say, you know what, I love you. I'm absolutely so proud of you. Those words, when they are in alignment with our actions, are absolutely powerful. They have the power to transform the people around us, and we have a choice. We can be a blessing or not. We can use our words to build up or our words to tear down, and it's easy to get caught in the tearing down part. Our words matter. Our words pack and punch. I mean, not just Father's Day and Juneteenth, but how we use our words every single day shapes who we become. Words like, I love you. I'm proud of you. I want to see you fulfill your destiny. Suddenly, those words shape our identity. We start to believe it. We believe that person, and we believe it about ourselves. Our words matter. Now, just the other day, I was on social media, and I was listening to this little song, and it was kind of clever. And it happened to be about a situation, an altercation between two congresspersons. I will spare you the details. I'm not going to tell you which one it was about because there's been quite a few in the last month. But I saw this little song, and I was so tempted to share it with my friends. You know, everybody who agrees with me, everybody who sees eye to eye with me. And so I was, like, quick to share this, like, TikTok. And then I had this little, like, thought in my head. Call it a conviction. That if I was going to share this TikTok with my friends, that I was just perpetuating the bullying. And so I didn't. And then I thought about what the exchange really was. And I said to myself, Rachel, this feels like it's out of the pages of a middle school yearbook. And this is in the halls of Congress. Maybe, just maybe, leaders like yourself in the community, and even leaders like our congresspersons, no matter what side of the political aisle they're on, could think twice about their words. Could recognize that their words are powerful, that their words have the power to build up and tear down, and not just one another, but we are watching. We are engaging in civil discourse based on the leaders around us. Jesus understood the power of words. He understood the power of a blessing. And could it be that we as leaders would choose to bless instead of curse? That before we're quick to share, we'd recognize that if we participate in the mudslinging, ooh, we add to the noise of the negativity. Jesus is calling us to love regardless. Say that with me, love regardless. Again, love regardless. Let's go back to John 15. Jesus said, you chose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name will be given to you. This is my command. Love each other. Now, that doesn't always seem fair. I mean, I'd rather clap back with something witty or sarcastic. I mean, the struggle is real. But the reality is that's not where God's calling us to be. Recognize that there are people, family members. I also recognize there are people and family members that are toxic. And ultimately, we got to set a boundary with love at a distance. But I want you to recognize that a boundary is a form of love and health. And we live in a culture every day where we have the opportunity to choose our own practices, to choose our words, to choose to be mean or choose to be kind. We can choose to tear down. We can choose to build up. We can choose to be right, or we can choose to be in relationship. And in the busyness and hustle bustle of life, Jesus calls us to stand up as our guiding principle, that love will stand out as our guiding principle. It's different. It's different than much of what's happening around us in our culture. And we're called to be different. And different is oh so good. Jesus didn't mince words when he told us to love one another as he has loved us. This isn't a nice idea. This is a radical command. A radical command to love regardless of the messiness and the misunderstandings and the disagreements we face. And this love isn't passive. It is not passive. It is active and bold and amazingly transformative. Love regardless. Let's say that again together. Love regardless. Living the 614 isn't just merely a message series. Not something that we can like wrap up in 6 weeks. This is how we're called to live our lives. To love regardless of the differences, to love when we'd rather blast someone with our words, to love as we head into a very tumultuous election season, to love regardless. So as we go about our week this week, let's make it our business to speak a blessing over our kids and grandkids and neighbors. Let's choose love. And imagine the rippling effects of that love. One smile, one thank you, one I love you, one I'm proud of you, one blessing at a time. Maybe, just maybe, with our words and our actions, we will start a love revolution. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that words are powerful. They stick with us. And so, God, I would pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. Help us to love like you love. Because, God, sometimes it is a struggle. God, when we are tempted to be sarcastic, to use our words to cause harm, remind us of who we are and whose we are. Help us to be a blessing. God, we pray this.